Well, here we go. 2017 Patriots. How about this? Welcome to the Patriots podcast. My name is Sean. His name is JJ.
Hello.
How about this? We can officially say this is the first podcast of the Patriots 2017 season. It's here.
We made it, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering about the audio quality on JJ's side, blame him. He forgot his microphone. But we are here to talk about... Hey, if the people are wondering, we got to tell them.
Yeah.
So Patriots training camp opens tomorrow. Well, first of all, is this like the most excited you've been for a season? The beginning of it? USA Today legitimately predicted the Patriots will go 16-0.
Everyone is, dude. It's ridiculous. I think 07 I was probably more excited for just because we weren't coming off of a Super Bowl win and because we just won the Super Bowl. Like, I'm still elated from the huge comeback.
Last year's season.
Yeah, so the fact that we have that going into this, I mean, it's still great. But I feel like the 07 I was more pumped for.
All right, fair enough. We're talking about a Super Bowl champion that just got better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty damn cool.
Pretty damn cool, no doubt about it.
Today, we're recording this on Wednesday. The veterans reported to training camp today. Rookies reported a couple days ago. Training camp begins tomorrow. Any of you guys who are attending training camp, my hat's off to you. I'm very jealous. That's going to be an awesome time. You get to see Brandon Cooks in person. See how fast that dude actually is.
Right?
He's probably got wheels, man.
He has wheels. He probably has wheels.
I know, but it's probably like unbelievable just to witness. You look at him against Stephon Gilmore and be like, whoa, Brandon Cooks is that much faster?
Yeah.
Two brand new guys on the team. Yeah.
He lit up Malcolm Butler last year. So
did he? Brandon Cooks?
In the Saints-Patriots practices.
Oh, in he the was practices.
Like running by him all the time, they said.
Yeah, those two guys were John a little bit too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see
that carry over into this year's training camp. We have not done an episode for a while now. This has been like a little hiatus for us. You know, everyone needs a break, and even podcasters sometimes need a break. So,
well, there's not much to talk about last month.
I know.
A whole lot didn't happen.
Well, we did get a big piece of news, and that was David Harris was cut by the Jets after 10, 11 years of solid service.
Yeah.
And spent about 24 hours on the free agent market before the Patriots scooped him up.
Yep.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Pretty badass pickup.
It's a great improvement, you know, for the Patriots. I mean, he steps in. If he can be anything what he was, even close to what he was, I mean, you're talking about who he's competing against. Obviously, Hightower's got the number one spot. Then you got Van Noy, McClellan, Roberts, and Freeney. And it's like he could start over all of them, potentially. 100%. You know?
He's the best all-around linebacker of any of those guys.
Easily, right. Unless he's lost a huge, huge step.
But we saw him last year. It's not like he was a bad player. He wasn't a liability at all.
No. He was on the Jets, too, so it's like their whole team was a liability.
You know? But we were bracing ourselves for a revolving door next to Hightower, essentially determined by what situation we were looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Roberts or Freeney on early downs, Van Noy, McClellan on passing downs, Van Noy more in a rushing role. So now that you get David Harris, a guy that can cover all of those responsibilities, it really makes you more confident about it just being smoother out there. You know, if David Harris can continue to play at a similar level to what he has proven to be, then there's no reason that he shouldn't be at least a two-down linebacker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then if you got that, I mean, Belichick has said many times about how not only how reliable he is injury, like he's the opposite of injury prone, David Harris, that is, mm-hmm. but also how intelligent he is to get everybody lined up. And if he's able to do that, then you can maybe give Hightower more breathers. He doesn't have to play every snap, or you can give Hightower a couple more rush responsibilities, put him on the edge, maybe keep Harris in the middle if he needs to be directing traffic from there.
Yeah.
It just gives you way more options.
Way more. And that, I mean, that was one of our more questionable spots going into the season. Like, we were solid, but it was like, what are, you know, how are they going to attack this? What if somebody gets injured? Now it's like, here is a huge security blanket. And the Jets just kind of kicked them to the curb for a seasoned vet of theirs.
Yeah, for a stellar Jet. If that guy was on the Patriots, he'd be going in the Patriots Hall of Fame. the career he put together with the Jets. I don't know if they have a team Hall of Fame, but he should belong.
Yeah, and it's not like they released him in the beginning of free agency, let him get some big money. No, they kind of just were like, nope, fuck you. We'll release you in June. What was it, June or May?
June. It was like mid-June.
Yeah.
Mid to late June. Yeah. It was, I mean, they waited until every other team had figured out their linebacker situation, and he just had to be an add-on to some team.
And look where he landed. Good for you, Jim. Right? Their botched situation by you guys.
They did the same thing to Nick Mangold, but for some reason they released him early on in the process and just hung on to David Harris. Yeah, they really dicked him around there for a bit. So now he slides into a linebacker role, and our weaknesses, our roster weaknesses, which don't exist in the starting lineup. Let's just put that out there. There are no weaknesses in the starting lineup of this roster.
None.
That's a fact. Now, we're in the privileged position to be able to quibble about depth weakness someplace like interior offensive line, possibly edge rusher, tight end. If Gronk were to get injured again, nobody really wants to see Dwayne Allen as your number one tight end.
No.
So those are a couple of the issues, but God damn it, that's a nice place to be in when you're really worried about who is going to be your backup right guard. Ooh,
yeah.
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 It's a tough spot. Another roster change in the last couple weeks. It was actually this week. Andrew Hawkins, a guy who had been productive elsewhere in his career, slot receiver, signed on with the Patriots, and we talked about it previously. Like, how is this guy going to fit in? Where does he see his role on a team that's already got like three slot receivers? Yeah, he retired.
Retired.
Yeah.
It's not even that old.
No, but he also pledged his brain to research.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. So maybe he's concerned about that. I don't know. Maybe he was just looking at it being like, yo, I'm never going to make this team. I mean, I guess he could have. He could have made it over Amendola. He was a cheaper option, but that
doesn't mean he could have played somewhere else if he wanted to. He said his body was breaking down.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah. And then I didn't know about the donating his brain to research. So those two things, not so good.
Yeah, he wasn't that old. He was maybe late 20s.
Late. I mean, he's only been in the league for so many years,
But little dude, he's like 5'7", 180.
He's that small?
Tiny.
I didn't know he was 5'7".
Yeah, tiny, tiny little guy. That is neck-breaking height right there.
Yeah.
Especially for a slot receiver. So best of luck to Andrew Hawkins going forward. That really clears up the wide receiver position a little bit. I mean, the only guy that's going to, I guess, compete, we know that the top five of that depth chart, you know, you got Edelman, Brandon Cooks, Malcolm Mitchell, Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, and then after that you're looking at Austin Carr, undrafted rookie free agent out of Northwestern. He was Big Ten receiver of the year last year. And then the other guy is Devin Lucien, who is a rookie seventh round pick or rookie undrafted free agent last season out of Arizona State. He had a really good preseason.
Yeah.
I thought he had a really good connection with Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. And so those are the only two guys that are going to push for a roster spot. And
it's probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't think so. I mean, Amendola is making such little money now that I just don't see it. He's making $3 million and he's got a 1.25 guaranteed. I don't think that's worth it.
To cut him, yeah.
So he'll probably be sticking around.
I'm sure I'd be surprised. I mean, you don't give somebody a pay cut and then cut him.
You could.
I mean, you could, but I mean...
That's one of the things I want to talk to you about. There is seemingly always a surprise cut. Last year, Terrence Knighton didn't make the team. Was that last year? Gee whiz. Was that just last year?
Was it?
That might have been 2 years ago. But yeah, there's always somebody like that. Tommy Kelly got cut. Everybody remembers Logan Mankins getting traded. Richard Seymour, he got traded. Like, there's always somebody that you don't expect. Losing.
2002 was
That's going way back. That's going way, way back. But there's always somebody that you expect to be an integral part of the team that ends up not making the team.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about it, and the one that makes the most sense to me is Patrick Chung.
You think so?
I know. I hate it. I really hate it.
I was thinking of some, like a safety position.
Yeah. I mean, they have probably, maybe, depending on how you classify Patrick Chung, but they have one of the better safety groups in the league, and one of the top-notch ones, depending if Patrick Chung can play like the 2014-2015 Patrick Chung.
Well, how old is he?
He was drafted in 09, so he's got to be 30.
I mean, Belichick always talks very highly of Chung.
I know. I love him, too. But he's making 6.2 this year against the cap.
Yeah.
Has only 2.4 guaranteed. They have McCourty locked up for another 3 years. They just re-signed Harmon for like four years, I think. They got enough stability at the top two positions, and I know what you guys are probably saying. Patrick Chung plays strong safety. Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon both play free safety. Well, kinda. McCourty plays. He could play strong safety.
He kind of plays all over the place.
He does. I mean, what do you think happens when Daron Harmon comes in the game? Devin McCourty comes into the box. I mean, he is usually playing man coverage, but so is Patrick Chung. They're both really good tacklers. I wonder if that's a direction that where there could be a big change, where they might move on from Patrick Chung and try to save, what would it be? He's got 2.4 guaranteed on 6.2 cap hit, so you're talking about 3.8 savings. I don't know. Who you got? Steven Goskowski, that's a good one.
Do we have another kicker on the roster?
I thought they brought somebody into camp. I can't remember who, but yeah, what a turn that would be. That'd be weird.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who would be
Alan Branch. He's almost entirely guaranteed this year.
If he's entire, it's all guaranteed. Then they're not gonna cut him.
Yeah, they're just flat not gonna cut him, even though he skipped voluntary offseason training camp like he always does.
He always does though. Yeah,
he always does that. He's on the PUP too. Do you know that Alan Branch and Hightower are both on the PUP?
I saw that. Yeah,
to start training camp. I think they both have undisclosed injuries. So god dang, I hope they're both okay.
I was thinking a lineman,
an offensive lineman. We got no lineman to cut.
Yeah.
Our backup linemen are like half rookies, and then Ted Karras, and maybe Cameron Fleming, Adrian Waddle. I mean, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah.
Offensive line, I feel like we can keep two tackles, but who is the second interior O lineman that's going to stick on this team? Because right now, all we have is Ted Karras, and then we got a bunch of undrafted guys. And it's like, come on, Scar, I hope you can work some magic and find another David Andrews in this group.
He can. Did you hear what Vollmer was saying about him?
What'd he say?
Vollmer got interviewed, and he was like, they were asking about, you know, the players and how good they are, you know, the other offensive linemen and who he likes and what he likes about them. And he was like, first of all, I have to talk about Scar and how great he is, because he can take Joe Nobody like me or anybody else and make them a serviceable, if not great, player. And he's done it over and over and over again. So I'm not overly worried about that, because he always does it.
Well, hang on. You're just taking Vollmer's word for it? First of all, Vollmer was drafted in the second round.
I know. Well, what he said,
he was 6'8", 320, and could move. He wasn't a Joe Blow.
Like you said, I know.
But yes, Scar has turned a lot of low-ranking players into very productive dudes. I mean, Dan Copen comes to mind. Ryan Callahan. I'm going way back now.
Yeah, Ryan.
David Andrews is an easy one. Shaq Mason was a borderline Pro Bowl guard the second half of the year last year. So, yeah, he's worked his magic a few times. I hope he can again. I hope he can find. See, this is what we were just talking about before. We're talking about backup offensive linemen, interior O-line I hope he can do some.
I don't think there's going to be a surprise cut. If there's a surprise trade, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, because if they see that Brady is Brady, they might try and get some value for him.
I feel like they've already seen that. What do they need to see? Him get hit?
Him in pass? No. Him in preseason.
Yeah. Somebody was saying Chris Hogan might get cut. It's like you're going to save $400,000.
The guy had 1,100 yards last year. Like,
did he really?
Something like that. He had over 1,000. It's ridiculous. Wow. Yeah, and he's an unbelievable player. So no, they're not cutting him.
His cap hit's 2.9, and his dead cap is 2.5. It's just not happening.
Not happening. Like, remember Peyton Manning the year
Ninkovich might retire.
Ninkovich could retire.
Ninkovich might retire.
I was going to say for about Brady, the year that Peyton fell off,
2014.
Like, he didn't look bad in preseason.
No, he looked good the beginning of the season too.
Yeah, he wasn't himself.
He was good at the beginning of the season, I'm telling you.
Good.
I'm not talking about 2015 when he was awful, and then he had one half-decent game, and everyone thought he was back, and then realized he wasn't. And then Osweiler came in. I'm talking about the year before when he had a good September, and then shit fell apart in October and never got better.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, like someone like Shea McClellan, maybe he gets cut, but I really don't think there's going to be a surprise cut. Like, I don't think McClellan would be a big surprise to me.
That would be a moderate surprise.
Moderate surprise, maybe, but not like a...
Not huge.
You know, like a Jamie, you know, getting rid of like a Chandler Jones or Jamie Collins or anybody like that.
Yeah, not getting... I guess a surprise cut would have to be a starter, and I wouldn't consider... Nobody would consider Shea McClellan a starter.
Right.
I'm looking at Cameron Fleming right now, and according to SpotTrack, which is, for any of you guys who are interested in salary cap stuff, really good website to check it out, Cameron Fleming is making $1.8 million this year.
Really? Good for him.
Is there any chance he makes the team? None of that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
I think it's a tender. It's like a restricted free agent tender.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way he makes the team on that salary.
Probably not.
They got LaAdrian Waddle. They just drafted two tackles, including Antonio Garcia in the third round. I just don't see him making the team with that much cap hit. I guess LaAdrian Waddle's at 1.1. That's not that far removed. But I mean, what are you looking forward to in training camp? What position battles?
Cornerback.
What about slot cornerback?
I just want to see them get on the field for a preseason game and just. Like, with all those players on the field at once and just the rest of the NFL just shit themselves, be like, what are we going to do?
You're not going to see that in preseason.
Yeah, you'll see it a little bit.
You're not going to see Gronkowski. He's not going to play in preseason.
Right. I'm definitely curious to see what the rookie DNs do.
If
they can do anything, would be great. I mean, you know what the secondary is. You know what the linebacking core is. You have a good idea of the, and the running backs. It's really that and the running backs. I mean, the receivers, you kind of know what you're going to get. They're going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But to see what they do with running backs and who kind of takes charge and takes the lead there, because you got essentially three guys who are the same and then one guy who's kind of like them. You know?
So you're talking about in the same group, James White, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead.
Right, and then you got Gillislee, who's not an overly big guy either, and what is he going to do? Like, who's going to get the goal line carries? Who's going to be getting all the screens? Who's going to be doing this and that, you know?
It's a good question. I really want to see what Rex Burkhead can bring in the running game, and I would like to see how powerful a runner Gillislee is. If he's going to be breaking tackles, because there's nobody else on the offense that's going to be breaking tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, in the backfield. Obviously, Gronk's going to break tackles. But yeah, Gillislee is the only guy that we could call remotely a power guy. So I'd like to see how much power he's got.
Right. I mean, he played great against us last year. So you know that.
Yeah, he did.
Whenever that seems to happen and we get them, it has always worked out.
Like, yeah, I guess.
A nobody or like a barely a starter who plays really good against the Patriots, and then we go ahead and get him. I mean, I can't think of a time it's not worked.
I'm trying to think of more examples. I mean, I got like Antoine Smith back in the day. I got Sammy Morris, Wes Welker. Oh yeah, I'm kind of running out.
Against Van Noy, and he played pretty good. And then who was the D tackle that's on the Bears now that we had?
Akeem Hicks.
We saw him in training camp.
It's a good one. He is a beast. Still, that's looking like we lost out on something there.
Really?
It's not that big a deal he signed. He's making 4 or 5 a year.
I know.
I mean, we're paying Lawrence Guy the way Akeem Hicks got paid, and he is a much better player.
Yeah.
Akeem Hicks is massively disruptive in both the run and pass game.
Yeah, we kind of brought that out of him. Pretty funny.
But we had no money. Yeah. No money.
Yeah, like, and who else who's been there over the years? I feel like that's done well against us. Didn't Chris Hogan? Chris Hogan was
Yeah, man. Hogan did really well in one game, week two in 2015 that I can remember.
And then we go out and get him, and he looks like an all-star.
Yeah, he tears it up.
You know?
I want to see what happens at slot cornerback. I kind of force that upon you, but Cyrus Jones had an awful rookie season. Let's see if he can put something together. Maybe, you know, if he seemed to lose all his confidence because of the way punt returns were going and he couldn't hang on to the ball. If he can get a foothold at cornerback, I mean, he was a good cornerback at Alabama.
He's a good player. Yeah. I mean, I think he gets too much flack.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if he can get a level of confidence from the way he can play defense, and then maybe he can parlay that into better special teams play.
I think all he needs to do is hopefully just, he spent the offseason with Edelman a lot, because Edelman's catching punts.
Just catching punts all day.
Just, well, did you, and do what Edelman's dad did to him. You remember we're hearing all those stories where he tie one hand behind his back and cover one eye and then punt the ball off of, like, the grandstands?
What?
Make him catch, like, 40 balls and then, like, switch the eye and switch the hand and then do opposites. And, like, he did it for hours, and so he would never drop punts.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so just fucking do that for a couple weeks with Edelman. You'll probably be fine.
Probably just be just fine. Yeah, it's slot corner. We have discussed it previously about how you can move Malcolm Butler inside and bring Eric Rowe in to play on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real good fallback option. But it'd be nice to be able to keep Butler in the best matchup you can rather than having to move him inside.
I'm so happy we kept Butler.
Kept him? Yeah.
I mean, remember months ago we were like, we're not going to have him. It wasn't even like a thing.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a done deal. He was gone. All the writing, all the signs that I was seeing were that he was getting shoved out the door, which made it even worse. But
God,
I hope they lock him up a little bit longer.
That'd be great.
But they're really rolling the dice here, because if he plays great, he's going to be out. He's going to be overpriced. We won't be able to sign him.
Yeah.
And you obviously want him to play great because he's on your team.
Yeah.
You don't want him to have a crappy season or get injured or anything. But yeah, you have the ability to move him inside and then bring in Eric Rowe on the outside opposite Stephon Gilmore, but that limits your matchups. So like a team could then put whoever they want on the inside or outside, and we have to keep Butler on the inside because Eric Rowe and Stephon Gilmore are not playing on the inside. It's just not happening. So if there's another guy that can play slot cornerback, then you have more flexibility. And if a team moves Antonio Brown on the inside, you could put Malcolm Butler on the inside against him and then bump Cyrus Jones or Jonathan Jones or Justin Coleman on the outside.
Is Justin Coleman even still on the team?
Eli Rogers. Yeah. Yeah, he's still on the team. He's like a, I don't even know, exclusive rights free agent, I think.
So he is.
Was what he was, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, wait. He is X'd out on this page. Yeah, I think he actually might have been cut.
Yeah, I don't think he's on the team.
Oh, okay. So Jonathan Jones or Cyrus Jones at this point.
Yeah.
Or some of the rookies. We'll see if a rookie can step up. Yeah, that's an area to watch for me. I like what you said about Derek Rivers.
Yeah.
The rookie edge rusher. That guy's got wheels.
Well, both of them. There's two of them. He's better too.
Dietrich Wise.
Yeah.
He's a bigger boy. He's like 275.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how much edge rushing he's going to be doing. He might be an interior guy.
Well, and on top of all that, too, I guess one of the things I almost forgot about it, too, was there is always an undrafted rookie that makes the team and plays a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to see who that is. That's always fun because they always get somebody. Who was it last year? Did they get somebody last year? Jonathan Jones.
Jonathan Jones, yeah.
And he didn't play a lot, but he played a decent amount.
He played great on special teams.
2 years ago, it was Andrews, right? Or was that 3 years ago?
2 years ago. And 3 years ago, it was Butler.
Yeah, so.
Malcolm.
You know, pretty good track record there. And that's always exciting because you never know who the hell it's going to be.
Exactly.
It's able to figure it out. And they end up contributing a lot, so.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, all signs point to that kid Harvey Lange from BYU, the edge player.
Mm-hmm.
He got the most guaranteed money they've ever given out to an undrafted player. He's at a position of not great depth.
Yeah.
So that's all working in his favor. But then you really never know. I mean, zero people would have guessed Malcolm Butler makes the team. Nobody would have guessed. So there could be some player that is just tearing it up day after day in training camp, just giving Edelman fits, or, you know, just Ninkovich can't get by him, or You know, nobody can block him. Whatever it is, you don't know who's going to pop out.
Yep, it's great.
I know.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
That's what I'm most excited to see. Yeah,
the Pats are having shared training camp practices with three different teams this year.
Yep,
three teams. They are crushing it. They're starting their own cottage industry at this
point.
They really are. Everyone's jumping on board. They're like, well, if they do it, then we should do it, right? Look how well it's working out for them.
No one else has done that, really, right? We're one of the only teams to do it the last so many years.
I feel like the Saints do it frequently.
Yeah. Well, we kind of like started with the Saints. We always do the same.
Yeah.
You know?
We always work out with the Saints.
So we're doing the Lions, the Redskins?
I'm not exactly sure. We're doing the Lions. We're only doing like one or two days with the Lions. Not much.
Yeah.
But it might even be the Texans.
Is it?
Actually, yeah. I'm not sure. But whatever. They're doing it with three teams. It's a lot.
That's always good.
And then, yeah, I mean, before we know it, we're going to be talking about a preseason game.
When is the first preseason game?
Oh, it's in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time of year. People are talking 16-0. The Patriots are already having to deflect that. Devin McCourty had to answer those questions. Like, yo.
And Edelman.
Edelman did too?
Yeah.
He's like, let's have some respect.
Yeah.
That doesn't just happen.
Edelman said it was the stupidest thing he's ever heard.
Oh, did he? Good for him.
Yeah. He was like, I haven't even started training camp and you want us. He's like, we haven't even gotten the field yet. And you're saying we're going 16 or undefeated. He goes, it's never been done before. And you're already saying that. He goes, that doesn't even make sense.
He's right.
It's never been done before.
But they could.
Yeah, they definitely could. I mean, you look at their schedule. It's definitely possible.
Well,
or it's possible they lose the first game.
Yeah, they could lose the first game.
No.
This is
going to be 07 where they just literally dominate every team until like week 10.
Yeah, and then it got real sticky there for a bit.
A couple games. Yeah,
it did against the Eagles, the Ravens.
Yep. Steelers.
Tight games. Ooh, that Ravens game.
That was chippy. I'll never forget that game.
That was an insane game. And Jabbar Gaffney with the winning touchdown.
Bart Scott picked up the flag and threw it at the ref.
That was a crazy game. That Eagles game. The Eagles like really figured out the recipe to frustrate the Pats passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the Giants game at the end of that regular season. Man, that was a crazy game. But I love that this team is coming off a Super Bowl and then they got better on offense. It reminds me of the 04 team.
Yeah.
That we came off a Super Bowl in 03 and then Belichick went out and got Corey Dillon.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, now we mean business.
Yeah, right? It's like we were the best team and now we are going to just want to fuck all of you.
Yeah. We took a Super Bowl team that scored 34 points in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And however many points against the Steelers in the AFC Championship game, 30 plus, certainly.
Oh, our offense was insane this year.
Was insane. And then we're adding, not only are we adding Rob Gronkowski back from injury, we traded for Brandon Cooks and didn't give up any players on our current roster. All we gave up was a pick in the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, you are losing Bennett, who I thought, you know, was really good. You're getting Dwayne Allen in his place.
Yeah.
But still.
I don't think anybody would take that trade straight up.
No. But the fact that you have Gronk, you have your stable of running backs. I mean, you have everything. I mean, it's like, who is anybody going to defend? You have the three best deep threats in the league.
Yeah, if you add Gronk in there.
I think Gronk, Hogan, and Cooks had the best averages per catch.
Yikes.
They're in the top five, so it's like.
I don't know if Cooks did, but.
I think he was.
Everyone knows Cooks can get deep, though.
So it's like, defending the deep ball is one of the hardest things. It's also one of the hardest things to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need a good quarterback to be able to do it. You need a good offensive line. You need somebody that has wheels and hands. Those three things together, that, you know, combination is tough to come by. Not only that, you have three options that deep down, 20 plus yards downfield. Like, what the fuck? And then you have, not only that, you have arguably the best two slot receivers, or definitely the best slot receiver in the league, maybe outside of Antonio Brown, but fucking Edelman.
Yeah.
One of the best short to intermediate route runners in the league, if not the best.
Yeah, and the running backs coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are people? 11 guys won't be able to stop You know?
Yeah, it's going to be silly.
They're going to need a 12th man. No one's got a 12th man.
The Seahawks do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to... I mean, if it all goes the way that I see it going, it's going to be stupid for a while.
I mean,
until something happens.
16-0. I mean, in 2007, I believed it could happen because you looked at that schedule and there wasn't a lot on there. This year, I mean, I'm not buying into it. I'd love it to happen, but I'd be fine with the Super Bowl. I can't understand if they go – if they win the Super Bowl last year, came did the comeback they did, and then go 19-0 this year to win the Super Bowl. Somebody might assassinate Tom Brady at that point. I'd be like, I can't take this anymore.
I know. It'd be too much.
You know?
People would think it's just too
like
much.
The odds of that happening. If you're like, yeah, in 2015 when Tom Brady's 39, he's going to come back from a four-game suspension, win the Super Bowl from coming back from 25 points, then go 19-0 to win the Super Bowl the next year, you'd be like, that's impossible. Like, that can't actually, like, it's a 0% chance. Like, it can't happen.
Yeah.
Like, one in a billion. No, it's zero. There is no chance. And now that we're on, like, that may happen, it's like, oh. Or that people are at least talking about it happening.
Yeah.
It's just, it is ridiculous. It's like, come on, guys, give them a break.
Capital R, ridiculous.
Give the guys a break.
Yeah. That's going to be our theme here. Here on the Patriots podcast with the 2017 season. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they play a lot of good teams this year. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Kinda.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Saints have given us problems in the past. The Texans, if they have a quarterback, but by week three, I don't think that's going to be a problem. Falcons are going to be looking for revenge. Broncos always play us hard, but they don't have, you know, Raiders, Steelers. So, yeah, not that tough. Really not that tough.
It's that actually is pretty tough. Raiders, Steelers, Chiefs. Those are all good teams. Texans are tough.
Four, maybe five teams I could take one. So, Panthers. But, I mean, schedule is just the way they've planned it for us is nice. I mean, it's not like we have stretches of, you know, it's not like we're playing the Falcons, Chiefs, and Broncos in a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you got two dogs, then a good team, then another dog in a bye week, and then a good team, and then a couple dogs, and then a good team. It's like, all right. So it's kind of...
It definitely helps that we play in the AFC East.
It's a nice cruising speed, cruising altitude. Well, the Dolphins, everyone's saying, might be pretty good this year. We know the Jets are going to suck, and the Bills, I don't even know. Do they have a quarterback?
Tyrod Taylor still.
Taylor's still there?
Yeah.
And they fired their coach.
Yeah, but they hired a new one.
Sexy Rexy.
Mm-hmm. He's gone. Out of
there, so...
Is he? What's he doing now? Is he announcing games? Is he doing TV?
He's ESPN, yeah, or some one of those things, CBS, whatever it is.
Good. That's the best thing he's done in years is what he does on TV.
Yeah.
Never mind coaching football. His TV spots were his best work.
It was.
Oh, that's not nice. He was a pretty damn good defensive coach.
Yep. He had a couple moments.
Well, anyway, training camp begins tomorrow. Happy 2017 season, everybody. It's that time of year again. Time to get amped. Time to get into it. We're going to be seeing Patriots football real soon. We're going to see practice reports. We're going to see who's doing well, who's being a lazy bum, who's fumbling at practice and running laps for jumping off sides or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So strap in. It's football season.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be doing shows a lot more often now. So we are back from hiatus. And we are amped, and we are ready to get this thing rolling. All right?
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll be back soon. Okay, there?
All righty.
All right, see ya.
Adios.